And now, Warming Center Wednesdays with the Flathead Warming Center and KGEZ's John Hendricks, where we tackle hard conversations around the complex causes of homelessness and discuss how we as a community can collaborate to address them.
And today we're talking with Warming Center's Executive Director, Tanya Horn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, who are we and who aren't we when it comes to the Warming Center?
There are a lot of misconceptions around who we are and who we're not. So I think that's an important conversation to have. We're a last resort for individuals in our community. This winter season, we have served over 300 individuals as a last resort, that warmth and safety that people need. We're a last resort and the very first step to turning your life around. That's the first step of as far as to who we are. We serve vulnerable people, some of the most vulnerable people in our community who are ill, and the elderly. Our highest increase in population is the elderly. We provide the very basics for people for what they need to achieve the next level in their life and the next level. And we serve our neighbors. Now that's a misconception. There are stories out there that we've had busloads of people from maybe Seattle or Spokane bust in here. That is such a rumor, and that's a rumor that causes a lot of alarm. But what we find at the Warming Center is that we are serving our neighbors. And in fact, if there were busloads of people coming in from here, coming into here, we would not be okay to that. We would be the first to cry foul.
Yeah.
Yes, because we don't have enough resources here in the valley for our neighbors. So it's important to know that we serve people who are from here.
Just to remind everyone, how many people can you serve on any given night?
50.
That's it?
That's right.
Do we have any estimate at all as to how many homeless people we have here?
That's a hard number to get.
Of course.
We can get snapshots of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different kinds of homelessness. But I would say that we probably serve, we would have over 100 unsheltered homelessness. I say unsheltered. We would probably be serving half of what is really out there unsheltered.
Well, what are the other half doing?
Being very resilient, doing what I could not possibly do. There are individuals that we can't serve for two reasons inside the Warming Center. One would be because of their behaviors. It's not safe. It's not safe for the Warming Center. It's not safe for the community. We can't serve those individuals. The others would be that because of the challenges that they faced, whether that be mental illness or because of addiction, that they can't come indoors. Inside the Warming Center, there's a lot of stimuli. There's a lot of things going on that makes it very hard for a person who's very ill to be indoors.
Hmm.
So those folks are surviving outdoors in a way that I never could.
I think about some of the nights we got zero and below zero. And you had shared with us earlier about some people who actually got frostbite.
Yes, we've had individuals in our community that the frostbite has gotten so bad that they have lost limbs. And we've had individuals to die in our community.
So how do we take care of these people? How do we, the ones who are who you can't get into the Warming Center?
I think that is an individual case by case as far as what they do need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proponent in looking at the mental illness. And is it that they have the right to continue to harm themselves and make choices that are detrimental? Or do we need involuntary commitment for some people to get the help that they absolutely need?
That requires then a professional to make that determination.
Yes, it does.
And are those professionals available to us?
That is a challenge in our community, and I think that our overall, the commitment law needs to be looked at. Why do we have individuals in our community that are a harm to self or that are a harm to others, without that path to getting involuntary commitment. I don't believe we need to change the law. I believe that we need to follow it, and there needs to be more opportunity for individuals to get in front of that mental health professional. And there needs to be more opportunity for that mental health professional to look at the whole story of the individual and not just what they're hearing from that individual, to get collateral contacts by the people, the families, and the other professionals that work directly with that individual in order to make the best assessment if there needs to be an involuntary commitment or not.
Are there funds available to do this?
Yes, there are, but it's not a profitable deal. It's very expensive, the involuntary commitment process. It's expensive to the hospital, to the emergency room. That's our current path to get someone an involuntary commitment, is through the emergency room. And then that also is expensive to the county because of the courts, the whole court involvement. So it is expensive.
Okay. And we don't currently have funding to do that.
It's just expensive.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, that is definitely one aspect that the Warming Center is very familiar with, and we want to be a part of that solution. But until we find a solution for our most mentally ill, who can't be served at the Warming Center or other places, until we find solutions for that, I think we are going to continue to see those crises that are alarming and that can be destructive in our community continue to play out.
Well, let's understand. I think we have a pretty good understanding of what you do and how you do it. Perhaps we really need to talk more about what you do or don't do or maybe can't do. We'll do that with Tanya Horn right after this.
Hi, Majors Larry and Julie from Your Salvation Army. Hunger and food insecurities are real issues here in the Flathead. But because of your overwhelming support, we've been able to continue meeting the needs of our hungry neighbors, showing that love is beyond hunger.
Next month, we will be honoring you, our donors, and volunteers with a free dinner at the Salvation Army on May 14th. This event is an opportunity for you to see and hear how your donations help us show love beyond limits.
The event is free, but you need to call and reserve your seat. Please call 257-4357. Remember, together we're better.
How do you spell help to a military veteran? First, you need to understand veterans are a unique population. They turn their life over to our country and were trained to rely only on themselves and each other. They will not ask for or expect help. Veterans Helping Veterans is about the only way a veteran will accept help. That's why Alan Erickson, a veteran, founded the Northwest Montana Veterans Stand Down in 2000. Stand down is a military term used to define a period where combat troops were allowed to stand down from the rigors of constant alert status and the hardships of battle. This stand-down term aptly defines our homeless, at-risk, and low-income veterans. You drive by the new Northwest Montana Veterans Stand-Down and Food Pantry every time you head east on Highway 2 past Kmart, the next building after Burger King. If you have clothing, food, or money to donate to our veterans in need, please donate it to the Northwest Montana Veterans Stand-Down and Food Pantry. And if you buy at their thrift store, you're helping also. Thank you.
And now, back to Warming Center Wednesdays with the Flathead Warming Center and KGEZ's John Hendricks.
The Warming Center's Executive Director, Tanya Horn, is my guest. So we've got a pretty good idea now of what the Warming Center can do. What can't you do?
That is a great question, because there are several misconceptions and blame that is wrapped up in what people think, who people think we are as the Warming Center. Some people have their minds made up, and there's not much that we can do for those that have had their minds made up other than possibly just leave them in their anger. But with lots of misconceptions, it's also, there's lots of misconceptions about what we can do that we can't do. And so it's important to talk about those. We are not a magnet. We are not drawing people from all over to come stay at the Warming Center. It's important to kind of paint a picture as to what the Warming Center is like inside. We are a remodeled garage. that it's a bunk room. It's a big bunk room with plastic mats that people sleep on bunk beds. This is not a magnet drawing people here to the luxury of the warming center. And it's important to know that. That is definitely a misconception about the warming center. We're not enabling people. It is just not going to get better for our overall community if we don't have shelter. Shelter doesn't mean enabling. We're not law enforcement. I think that's another important thing to say. But we do support and we do collaborate with our law enforcement. And we don't grow homelessness. The idea that the warming center grows homelessness, that's the one thing that we're working to help get people out of homelessness. Now, you may see more homeless people, especially around Meridian where we are, because we are a place that people can go to. But that does not mean that we are growing homelessness. Another misconception, you know, we are not a final destination for people. We're a launch pad. We're the very first step for people. We're not where people are going to come and stay. We're not long-term housing. We're not long-term shelter. In fact, our shelter season will be wrapping up at the end of this month. And we don't serve everyone. I think, honestly, we're getting a lot of blame for different things that are happening around the community. Let me give you one example. This last weekend, again, it hit Flathead 411 that there's a disaster happening at the end of Meridian, and it has to be the warming center's fault, and we just need to close down the warming center. And it got all of these comments and all of these misconceptions going. It was an individual putting up clothing, hanging clothing on the bear. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it got people talking because it causes alarm, and it does make people feel like the big city feel of homelessness. But what people weren't seeing is the crisis that that individual was probably in. And it just immediately went to blame. We should just close down the warming center, as if that is a great solution when we serve over 300 people a winter. And I immediately went into a mode of, well, what can we do? What can we do? And so sharing that picture with our staff, our on-site staff, do we know this person? Who is this person? We, as the warming center, do not serve, don't know the person that was involved in that. But yet we're blamed for that. So it's definitely, it needs to be an understanding that we can't serve everyone in our community. Oh, we would like to. We would like to serve that individual to see if we can help them with the situation that they're in. But we don't know that individual. And the answer is not to shut down the warming center because we have homelessness in our community.
Do homeless people in the area talk about the warming center? Do they invite people that they come in contact with to the warming center?
People that they know within the community, if they meet them, you know, at the park or something like that, what's going on with you? And do you know about the warming center? Others in our community do that as well. And other service providers do that as well. Law enforcement as well. We save four first responder beds for our first responders to be able to, whether it's the ER, whether it is through dispatch, whether it's through the Sheriff's Department, our Kalispell Police Department, they bring individuals to us because we are a last resort, and our law enforcement needs the tools and the resources to help an individual.
You had mentioned in an earlier show that one of the things you thought would be helpful would be an outdoor living space.
A structured outdoor living.
Make something like that happen.
It would take, number one, a community to not be afraid of that. I think we're afraid of what that could look like. And again, it brings us back to our fear of being like the big cities. So I think at first we would need to overcome the misconception of what that would be like. And then we would have to look at how it can be structured. The one that I have visited has a lot of resources there for people, a lot of structure. It has security on site. Each person has an individual. It's a tent that's on top of a pallet that has a heater buddy outside of their individual tent. And in the middle is a yurt. And inside the yurt is where the resources are. And there's a community that's built within this outdoor living space. It gives an appropriate place for individuals to have their own space. And that can help those individuals to have the best outcome in their lives, but it can also help our community, because our community is alarmed by seeing the homelessness. Well, let's give the homelessness a structured space so that we can take them out of the spaces that we don't want them to be, that they shouldn't be, to give them a space where they can be so that they can get the tools and resources that they need to move out of homelessness.
Well, that's something we should investigate as we move forward here with the Warming Center Wednesdays.
Well, we would love to talk more about it in the future. Let's plan on it.
All right, Tanya Horn, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for another Warming Center Wednesday. Did you miss it, or would you like to share it with friends? Find today's and past shows via flatheadwarmingcenter.org. It's Warming Center Wednesdays on KGEZ 96.5 FM at 600 AM.